Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right, we are back. And Bob, you know about today, the Born Alive Protection Bill passes the House.
Oh, yeah.
And we want to just praise the good Lord for that, okay?
Oh, my gosh.
And I just want to tell people out there that Attorney Lynch is one of the most proactive, pro-life attorneys. And you kind of spent a whole lot of your life representing me in cases, didn't you?
Yeah. Did I rescind your bill? I can't remember.
No. No. You never did send me a bill, and you never lost a case for me. And all of the times when I was charged, I mean, we had some interesting court cases, too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, some very interesting, you know. And every time it was, I was charged with preaching, you know, preaching the gospel. And that was and they made all these false accusations. God's word does not return void, does it?
No, it does not.
And in all those false accusations, and I even became a trading for some of these judges, you know, if they would sell me or get me off the street, some of the corrupt ACLU people could benefit, couldn't they?
Absolutely. Well, a lot of the judges too learn from you because they got the Bible pretty strongly thrown at them from you, and you know, judges didn't know what they were. You were way over the head. Let's put it that way.
Well, you know what? One case I remember. Remember that fella John. And he had John was a little slow, and he was a grown man, but he had probably, I would say, maybe the mentality of maybe of a 12 or 13 year old, and he had a situation where he had found a police captain's badge.
I remember that.
Yeah, and what happened was that, he was even a little higher than a captain. I'm trying to think of what it was. But anyhow, what happened was he was outside a whorehouse. And so John, when he got that badge, he wanted to try to impress some people. And he went into the YMCA where, and he set it on the counter when he was washing his hands and didn't realize the guy next to him was an actual real cop. And when he saw that badge, he knew who it belonged to, and poor old John was arrested on the spot and charged with stealing. Well, the whole story came out, but to make a really long story short, okay, this cop had been in a whorehouse, and he didn't want that to come out. And so what happened was John had called me, and he said, "I need some help." And I asked him, I said, "Do you know the Lord is your Savior?" And he said, "No," he said, "I got real problems." I said, "John, if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you got more problems than you can imagine. You're looking at a burning, fiery hell." And I gave him a little, I preached to him on hell. And and he was crying, and he said, my whole life has been nothing but painful," because him and his brother were dumped by their parents when he was just a little. And so basically they lived on the streets and they were split up. He had a very poor childhood. Anyhow, so he accepted Christ as his Savior. And so then I preached, you know, to him on heaven, you know, the salvation message. When we got to that court, that judge said, "I want to hear every word of your conversation with John, that conversation you had." I said, "Remember that?" And so I gave him the entire message. And that police captain that was standing there, you know, his eyes was as big as sausage. And you were looking at me like, "I've never seen this. Here you just preached an entire sermon to the courthouse." And the judge listened to every single word. And the judge said to the captain, "Do you still want to press charges?" He says, "No, Your Honor, just give me my badge and let me out of here." You remember that?
See? But every word sunk in. You got it.
Yeah. God's word in the Bible doesn't return void. And that was that was amazing. But
your vocabulary, or the same, when there in when it was in Shaker Heights before they moved on to Shaker Boulevard. When the cops came over, they could see what's happening with you preaching the word, and the pro boards there with just bomb off four-letter words. And before you know it, the cops were doing your work. They were pushing the pro boards away and getting
out. Oh, those women with that, like, Russian accent? And, yeah.
I don't understand what they were saying, accent or not.
Oh, yeah, those two came out, and they had the most foul language, and there was a tall, dark-haired one and a shorter blonde, and they were both very heavy-set. And they come out, and they had very foul language and very vulgar, and I can't say what else they did, a little bit of flashing. But anyhow, I preached to them about going to hell, and they went and they called the police on me. And when the police came down and they said, okay, what's your side? I said, well, these two whores came out here, and I told them what they were doing. And this cop says to me, you can't call them whores. I said, oh, yeah, I can. I said, if they're whores, I'll call them a whore, right? And so while he's talking to me, here they come across the yard there, and they're screaming, and I can't tell you what they said, but they say, we want this blankety blank, this. And the cop said, ho, watch that language. And they didn't stop. They kept it up. He said, one more word out of you and I'll arrest you. And then he said, no, not one more word. And the other cops, of course, then they confronted him. And then he turned to me and he says, you're right, they're whores.
The big one passed. I know we're getting a little
fire
field from Tony's case.
Yeah, but we're going to take some calls on this, but okay. I wanted to say this, too. His son, I believe it was Matthew. I'm not sure. Was it Matthew?
Anthony.
Or was Anthony that called me, that I talked to him? Mm-hmm. Or I called him.
You
somebody called gave him, me, yeah. I called
mm-hmm.
him, right?
I called him.
Okay, yeah. And he told me, and I remember, it's been a while, but to the best of my recollection, this is what he told me. He told me that his mother says, somebody's going to go to jail. It's either going to be your dad is going to go to jail for a little while, or it'll be me. And then if I go to jail, you'll be in a foster home, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so you're going to have to say what I tell you to say.
Yeah, she always pondered in her head that I'd done this. Before I came out of prison a couple weeks ago, I talked to my son Matthew. I got his phone number, and I talked to him on the phone. And my ex-wife was dating another gentleman by the name of Jim Witt. And we looked alike quite a bit. And my son Matthew made a comment to me over the prison phone that I believe I made a mistake. I said, what do you mean? He said, I don't believe you done anything. I said, why would you say that? He said, I believe it was Jim Witt.
Well, what he told me was you weren't even there.
Right, that's Matthew. Or Anthony, excuse me. Okay. Anthony told you that, but Matthew, my other son, told me that.
Well, which one's the oldest?
Anthony.
Okay. Well, he told me that you were never even there.
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, Children's Service Board, Mahoney and Trumbull County Children's Service Board investigated these allegations many times and found nothing. The dates that was given by the mother don't even match the dates that the prosecutor said I did the crimes. Don't even match.
Well, Bob, I started out by saying that when I was a young man, I thought the bad guys were in prison and the good guys put them there. But after being in the prison ministry, visiting the prisons for 45 years up on death row, I realized basically you had two groups of criminals, one in charge of the other. And that's basically...
One part of the puzzle is what the federal government did in just funneling millions and millions of dollars into counties all over this country with the specific purpose of finding child abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And caseworkers who came out of social work schools, totally brainwashed, politically correct, we got to find child abuse. They even wrote a book for teachers, which says the title is something like Five in Every Classroom. That's the title, meaning five kids in there that are being abused. Mm-hmm. You got to find mm-hmm. whether it really happens or not, whether the truth, you know, that. But see, that's where it's funneled down from the top.
Exactly.
The more you put money into something, the more it's going to continue, whether it's true or not. And so it persists to this day, Pastor, that these caseworkers are paid to find issues and problems.
Exactly.
If they don't find these cases, then they lose money. Mm-hmm. We got $1 million we got to spend. It. If we don't, if we only spend a half of it, next year we're going to get even less. You know? So it's the almighty dollar, number one. Number two, it's a perfect storm with the prosecutors.
Mm-hmm.
The prosecutors have special programs. Again, every county, especially the big counties, have specific prosecutors trained, and they go to seminars and everything on how to handle these cases, whether they're true or not. And you know, Tony, that the truth is the last thing.
Exactly right.
They want a notch on the gun to show that they did their job. And then, of course, you know, they run for office after that.
Right.
So you can be tough on child abuse, then you're famous. Oh, you're a good prosecutor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I kind of thought of you when I saw the Kyle Rittenhouse case, because that prosecutor on that case, I thought, this guy could be the same prosecutor in your case, Tony, where there's no evidence,
mm-hmm.
no case.
Well, my prosecutor, he was disbarred. A couple years after mine, he had another case that he done and withheld DNA from this man's case. His name was Thomas Wren, the prosecutor.
Oh, wow.
He was the assistant prosecutor in my case. And my ex-wife went to the prosecutor's office after so many years that she wasn't getting any attention from the counselors. She would bounce my kids from counselors to counselors, from children's service to children's service, we're making these allegations. I found out in 96 that my son was going to D&E counseling. Or no, Valley Counseling on Belmont Avenue. So I called the counselor up. I said, hey, I'm the father. My name is Duh. Can I visit you one-on-one? Because I haven't seen my son for many years. And he said, I have no problem. So I made an appointment. I went in and I talked to him one-on-one. I said, I would like to see my sons in the office here because they're comfortable here. They're used to this place. He said, I have no problem. I have to make an appointment with Lisa, which is my ex-wife, and you to come in and see if you can see your son. I said, sure, no problem. I didn't know at that time that she was making these allegations years prior to that. So I went in there, and she said, yeah, you can visit the kids at the office here. I said, I have no problem. I had three visits. The fourth visit was canceled. She started the allegations all over again. So if I was doing these allegations prior to my visits at the counseling office, why didn't the counselor office call the police? Never did.
All right. There you go.
You know, there's one part of this. This is kind of like the biblical prophet, Pastor Ernie Mandel.
Right.
But is there, I know you got some phone calls coming in, but Tony, are your kids doing okay spiritually?
Yeah, I'm hanging in there. God brought me a long ways.
Well, how about the kids? Are they getting any kind of spiritual? Are they going to church?
I don't think my kids are. No, I haven't seen them. I haven't seen them for over 20-some years. And I want to say something. I love my sons. I understand that it was their mother behind the allegations. I understand she brainwashed them, and they believe what she's saying.
Yeah, they even believe it now because if you get brainwashed,
exactly.
Enough,
I mean, if you tell the kid child at the age of three there was a pink elephant in the corner, and you do that for a couple of years, they're going to start believing it.
Even to this day, you've heard of the parental alienation syndrome.
Yes.
Okay. That's exactly your case, a perfect example of that.
Exactly, it is, yes.
So being used to it.
I love my son very much. I always will.
Well, you know, this is the Christmas season, and forgiveness is God being paramount.
Exactly.
I mean, don't give up your case. You got to.
Oh, I'm fighting this till I'm dead.
Yeah. While you're pushing the case, you know, act with forgiveness too.
Exactly.
Yeah, you have to do that. You've got to stand your ground, and he's got to do that. He's got to get cleared. And Bob, I'm trying to remember the name of the other fellow that we had. Has same situation. He spent 25 years in prison. I remember after 20 years, they said if you will just admit to your guilt, then you'll be able to get out right now. And of course, pardon?
And it escapes me too now. Yeah. Actually, Bob, a federal education. Go ahead.
Yeah, we had him on the program, and that was the one where they went. He finally, after another 5 years, he got out, and they went and they got to the evidence lab. They found that the so-called blood on the bottle opener was ketchup. The so-called blood upon her clothes was not. It was lipstick. All of the evidence was faked. It was false evidence. And then so the media went to her house. I think it was Channel 5. I'm not sure. And knocked on her door. Nobody would come. So they called the police, and the police came and broke into their house. And here she was hiding in a closet. And she admitted that she had lied. And this man had spent 25 years in prison, and she admitted, I remember that very well. And we had him here on the radio program, but
yeah.
You know what? I'll tell you what, it's been so, after...
Yeah, his name escapes me too, but it'll come in. But unfortunately, the locals, this was in Ashtabula County, one of those counties, I think that was it, they were all in bed together.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't going to find the records. There was records from the court in the previous hearings before I came on the case. They just couldn't be found.
Mm-hmm.
No, I got promises from the judge. I had hearings. Nothing to recant. So
mm-hmm.
when you deal with this system that's totally against you, it just makes it that much tougher. So.
Right. I want to say also something on the record. Excuse me. I want to say something on the record that I got the police report that was Sheila made. The way the police report was written, it was written 22 hours before the crime was supposed to have happened. I got the report on this.
Well,
I also got the report from the Hubbard Police Department when my ex-wife took my son for the allegations, and the Officer Miller at the time said it didn't happen in our jurisdiction, so we're going to send you to the Warren Police Department and talk to these two detectives, which I got their names. And I wrote the detectives. I said, I want to know if you have any reports that was filed by Lisa at the time, Witt, W-I-T-T. She was married three different times. And they wrote me back. There was nothing on the record. But the Officer Miller saying that they was en route to go see him. She never showed up there. I got records from D&E counseling. I got records from Bali counseling saying that there was nothing in the files to corroborate these allegations. See, all this evidence at the time my case was going on, I knew nothing about this evidence. My lawyer, Tom Zena, never shared anything with me. Nothing. He never, not one sheet of paper he ever shared with me or explained anything to me. He just showed me to the wolves, which is the prosecutor's office.
Well, I remember one person that was staying with you, and that was your father.
My father, yes. He's a very good man.
Because I had talked to him, and he said, look, he said, everything he's telling you is true. He said, I know I was there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, all of this evidence, and he really, right up until the end, he stuck with you.
Yes, until he passed, yes. I did 25 years in prison, okay? Someone did that 25 years in prison, they would just forget about it and move on with their life. I can't, and I won't.
And you're going to, okay, so well, that's good, because it's not just for you. You've got to do that. And
exactly.
And they've got to see that what you're here, you're talking, and you're naming names.
I'm naming names. Yes, Tom Zena. That's where it all started. Attorney out of Youngstown.
You know, so as long as, as long as it's, you can prove it, you can say it.
Well, I got the documents.
All right.
I want anyone out there that can listen. Pardon, sir?
You'll be helping others down the road, because once they see that you're going to stand up for your rights, then these caseworkers, these guardians,
mm-hmm.
and pastors, you know how the guardians are, too. They'll just do whatever is going to make money for them. So I don't know if there's a guardian involved in the case, but I'm sure there was.
I remember Dennis Watkins told my attorney, Mark Marine, he was my post-conviction attorney, which he also screwed me over out of Cleveland. He didn't really fight for me. I remember Dennis Watkins told my Mark Marine that I was like a cockroach. No matter what you do, he just don't go away.
Yeah. Well,
I'll never put that in writing, see?
Yeah, I won't give up. I won't give up.
We're not going to give up. All right, and Bob, we have a whole lot of stories that we could tell over the years, because you remember, what they did to Richard Lewis, they were going to try to do to me. And if you remember that they were going to come and charge me with anti-government activity in the middle of the night, and then... But somebody tipped.
The prosecutor approached you in the hallway, and you gave him heaven sweet and hell hot. And I think that's when you backed away. You were on his list.
Well, I took a dozen men. When I got tipped off by a certain attorney who overheard the conversation and told me, and then I took a dozen men, and I went down to Judge Marcus's courtroom, and I confronted the judge and the Dan
Yeah, I remember the
Mark Arrakis or Nadan Sacker.
I know who you're talking about.
It's a Greek name, yeah, and I never could. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But anyhow, I confronted the judge right there and Dan, the prosecutor. And do you remember I said, I understand that you're going to charge me. And they got caught off guard, and they said, yeah. And I said, well, what were you charging me with? And they said, anti-government activity. And I said, what kind of activity? And they said, well, you're taking and you're having Smith.
Those classes, right? You're teaching classes on maritime law.
Constitutional law classes, yeah. And with Jack Smith. Jack Smith was there, right-way law, constitutional law classes. And I said, yeah, we're doing that. And he said, and you're selling those tapes. I said, no, we don't sell anything. We have them, and we ask for a donation, but if not, we give them away for free. We don't sell anything, okay? And then he said, well, you've had him on the program. I said, yeah, I've had him on. I've had presidential candidates. I've had Supreme Court justices. I've had...
You had Pat Buchanan?
Yeah. I had Pat Buchanan on, and I had, I think that was maybe around that time he was on, and then I told him I had judges, many judges, and even prosecutors like you. So am I guilty by association? And so the judge called him over. You could see the judge say, how did you let this happen? And he said, well, I guess we're going to drop charges. And they just wanted me out of there. And so.
Yeah, but they knew you were a pushover.
It all stemmed from I came just to be a witness to Williams.
Was that mixed couple, that pretty girl? That's right.
They asked me to come, and so I came, and I sat by myself. And when they walked in, I saw the police detective point. He talked to the judge's assistant there, the bailiff. And he pointed at me, and he whispered. Now, I'm looking right at him. They're looking right at me. They both go up to the prosecutor, and they tell him. And now they all go to the judge, and all four of them are looking at me. I'm sitting over in the corner by myself. I just have a notepad, and I'm taking notes. And you might remember they said, the judge says, why don't we just introduce everybody? I'm Judge Marcus, and this. And they said, who are you? And I knew that if I had said anything, then that would be recorded, okay? So I just smiled at him. I didn't say anything and got him upset. But they didn't want me there because they didn't want people to know how they were conducting that hearing on him, huh?
Sure.
Yeah, they were trying to, you know, because they didn't want it going out over the airwaves, mm-hmm. you know? And all I was there was just to take notes saying this is what happened. That's mm-hmm. all, okay? And so, but we're going to stand up. And how many times has that happened in so many different cases where that's happened?
It got so deep with that prosecutor. I can't remember his last name, but I know it was alleged. I don't know if it was ever proven, but it was alleged that he was doing indictments without the grand jury even signing the indictment. He would forge the signatures. It's not going to get indictments. And who's going to question it, you know? It was alleged. I don't know if it was ever proven.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what you're dealing with. You know, when people get away with something, and they know they can, mm-hmm. they're going. And that's when we get back to Tony's case. All these guardians, all these prosecutors, they're all coming from the same viewpoint. If a child says they're molested, you have to believe them. Mm-hmm. A child has the right to be believed.
Exactly.
Remember, Pastor, we had Kim Hart from the Vocal Group, Victims of Child Abuse Law, and her group is still going strong. And they monitored these cases all over the country where these children who are brainwashed, whether it be in the context of a divorce or whatever, and these children are believed. Mm-hmm. And more of these children are put on the stand And they even, they can't do this anymore, but they even would try to put a screen between the child and
right.
the parent.
Right.
And the difference, I'm not saying trying to do that in your case, but.
Yeah, they wanted my youngest son, Matthew, they want to do a deposition and put him behind a screen. You know, they said he was scared of me and stuff like that, but it was never proven.
Right. Well, see, a fear like that would.
Okay, you know what? Here you go. We've got another call. I'm going to bring him up. Stay there. Timothy on Dan Casares. That was that prosecutor's name.
There you go. That's there, right.
That was it. Yeah, I couldn't remember. I knew it was a Greek name. Timothy, you're in the air. Go ahead.
Top of the evening, brothers in Christ. And I live in Royalton, have been out here since 2010, as I was telling. Is that Craig or Andrew tonight?
It's Craig.
It sounds familiar. It's Craig. That's what I thought. All right, well, I was telling Craig, because he said he was on the west side. He grew up on the west side. So did I. And I knew a lot of what was going on in a lot of these small little suburbs. Mayor's up to no good. City council up to no good.
Mm-hmm.
Since I've been out in Royalton in 2010, I was well aware. I had Dan Casares and his wife, who's a realtor, on my radar for a while. I actually knew about them when I lived in the Brook Park Berea area before I moved out to Royalton, and I had answered somebody had an ad about remodeling some property. It was rental property, and it was them. And I'll never forget dealing with them and some of the properties that they wanted to be fixed up. They were those properties were the furthest away from where they live in a nice area in Royalton and in a nice house and all that. And they put on this facade in Royalton, and they do all this other stuff. Him with his law practice and city council, and her with the realty business, and you know, keeping up with the Joneses. And I've heard Pastor bring his name up before. So when he was struggling to remember the name, I thought I'm going to call in and tell whether, you know, I can't always tell the voices unless I hear the beginning of the show to know whether it was Andrew on tonight or Craig. But I've known, you know, I've talked to both of them before. And I couldn't wait to get in there and tell you the correct name and say that we need to look into this guy more. He's up for re-election. He said he quits his day job. My son just pulled up the article from the North Royalton Post about him. So he must have stopped doing whatever he was doing associated with the Cleveland court system and whatnot. He might have a private practice, but this guy's reached a high heaven with improprieties. I never thought that he was on the up and up. And if anybody that knows him that's listening to this show, this is all about truth on this show, and I have no problem saying the truth. If you're up to no good and yet you're presenting yourself as something the opposite of if you're up to no good and then you want to present yourself as a do-gooder, I'm going to call you out.
Well,
Tim, now remember, always make sure you can document every allegation.
Exactly, Bob Lynch. Exactly what I've done.
You'll get hung from the highest tree.
Exactly.
And then go for it. Once you get the documentation, then go for it totally. But make sure you can document everything. Yeah.
Well, I just want to make sure that we have the correct name and that he keeps putting that out there, because his voice, it reaches a lot of people, and especially those in the greater Cleveland and all throughout Ohio, that if this guy ever has aspirations to go anything above city council or practicing law down in Cleveland, I think all of them are corrupt. I think the whole thing stinks to high heaven. I don't even trust a two-party system anymore. I think both parties are corrupt. To me, it's you're either for me or against me. It comes down to the Bible and Christ and that cross.
There you go.
When I look at people, when I have to vote my conscience, I'm going to vote my conscience based on, are you for Christ or are you against Christ? Not about if you're for Republican or for Democrat. That's all just a name game. And that doesn't mean anything anymore. They've proven that. Mitch McConnell's got to go. He might as well just go join Pelosi and Schumer and all that.
Yeah, he sold us out. He sold us out there. He's given in and to stop.
He's trying to find nine more to go with him. And you know what? If any of those nine step forward and they side with him, you can go too next November. You get a big old street broom and a dustpan, and you're all going.
Well, he's given in to go to end the filibuster. So, you know, and of course.
He's a sneaky little son of a gun, and his wife's involved with the Chinese big time.
Yeah, I know.
So, I mean, this, you know. I'm, t- telling you, and Kevin McCarthy, if you're out there and you're listening to any of these shows, I watch Sean and I watch Tucker and I watch Laura, and I watch it very circumspectively anymore, because you know what you say with your lips and what you do in your actions, they have to mirror one another.
Exactly.
If not, then you're fake.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
It's all lip service.
You exactly. Know,
let your yes be yes and your no be no, and you need to decide, like I said last night, whom you serve, and you will know them by their fruits on who they serve.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you. That you must have been listening to for a long time, because that's been some years since I mentioned his name.
Yeah, it's been a while. I've been an avid listener. I call in when I feel it's important. Like I said the other day, I looked up the Plato quote. That some of these callers that come in and want to be nasty, they just want to say something. Well, a wise person will think about what they say and say what's pertinent.
There you go.
You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Timothy. We're cutting away for a break, and we will be back.
Remember, it's about meritocracy. I don't care what they tell you. It's American meritocracy and capitalism in this country.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. We'll be right back after this.
Well, there's people on the left and people on the right, and there's people that's in between. You better hope you're right when you leave this life and bow before the King of Kings. Bow before the King of Kings.
Some say I'm a little bit too far right when I write and sing my song. But on Judgment Day before God's throne, I'd rather be right than wrong. Lord, I'd rather be right than wrong.
You say no one murdered more than Hitler did. Most people would say that's true. But over 50 million babies that were never born might disagree with you. Yeah, they might disagree with you.
Some say I'm a little bit too far right when I write and sing my song. But on Judgment Day before God's throne, be right than wrong. We got a right to feel the way we feel. We got a right to make a stand. And I'm proud to say on my wedding day that my woman was not say I'm a little bit too far right when I write and sing my song. But on Judgment Day before God's throne, I'd rather be right than wrong. Lord, I'd rather be right than wrong. Thank God I'm saved on Judgment Day. I'd rather be right than wrong. Lord, I'd rather be right than wrong.
All right, I'd rather be right than wrong, too. And tonight, we're going to open the phone lines at 888-677-9673 nationwide. The phone lines are open. We'll take your calls or comments. And Attorney Lynch, last night when... First of all, I want to just say this, that after all of these years, it's probably been close to 50 years where you and I have been working together. And
yeah, we started out in kindergarten, so we're still
pretty young. Yeah. Anyhow, and I'll say I never saw you back away from the case. And, of course, you were a lawyer for life, one of the pro-life lawyers, and in those cases, in many cases, starting way back, well, I never even asked for help. You folks showed up and said, look, we're here. You're out there, you're going out, and you're saving babies, and we're going to defend you. And we had some very interesting cases over the years, but we've won every one of them. And
yeah,
I mean,
I'll say one little plug for the Lawyers for Life group. You know, this new Boggs case that is now before the Supreme Court, the Lawyers for Life of Cleveland put in their own amicus brief. And it was helped with David Forte, a good pro-life professor down at Cleveland State.
Yeah, I know him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a great guy. And he helped us with that. And I was kind of on the sideline on that because I had so much going at the time. But a couple of the other attorneys, well, Colonel Joe, he was in on it. And some of the other Lawyers for Life. So we're on the record, Cleveland Lawyers for Life, on this Boggs case, which we have to keep praying real hard because they're going to actually reverse Roe. So.
Yeah, you guys showed up in the early days when I was always going up against, and they were bringing the death machine against me. And like I said, we won every case. One, we had to win on an appeal, but we won it on an appeal. And that was an amazing case right there.
Because you'd still be serving time because I know you weren't going to pay a penny of the attorney fees.
I told the judge that too, didn't I? When they were selling me. They wanted to see the deal was this one judge needed to get a promotion. He needed ACLU to help him. And so he gave them a $20,000 judgment. And I told him, I said, you might as well make it $20 billion. I won't give him 20 cents. He says, even if this court orders, I won't give him 20 cents. And then they said, remember they wanted to demand that I get a list of the folks that support us. I said, I don't keep one. But if I did, I wouldn't give it to you. He said, even if this court orders? I said, even if this court orders. You remember that, don't you? And
you would be still serving time today. We'd be.
I know. And so the ACLU said, are you going to take that, Your Honor? And the judge says, you heard what he said. Get it from whoever you can. I couldn't believe it. But no, I wasn't going to do it. No, that's why Tony's here tonight. You've got to stand on principle. There are absolutes. There's absolute rights and absolute wrong, and you got to stand on principle. You know, it's if you don't stand, if you back down, you know, Abraham Lincoln said, "When men remain silent when they should speak out, makes cowards of men and destroys nations." And that's exactly right.
That's right.
And this is why we have to speak out. We have to stand our ground. And we've had many, many cases like that over the years. You know that, and but we've.
And Tony, you're working for other people. Unbeknownst to you, your example is helping other people. Not only those that have been serving time, but others that have yet brought cases against them. You know, these prosecutors and these guardians are going to start backing off when they realize that you're actually going to fight them.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, at the time, you didn't know this.
Right.
At the time.
Right.
You were scared out of your mind.
Exactly, I was, yes.
And so you pled, and you thought, well, that's the best thing for everybody.
Well, my attorney at the time told me on 10 to 25 I would do 4 years with good behavior, and I believed him. And I was thinking, well, I'd rather do 4 years than four life sentences. So I took the 4 years, thought I would get out and fight this. Come to find out, he lied to me.
And they could have been lying to him, too.
I mean, he even made a lot of things on the record that I didn't want to plea. I had no choice. I had the prosecutor, the assistant prosecutor from Trumbull County, made a comment on the record, which I have. Only Mr. Shafi will know if he committed these crimes or not. That was his exact comment.
That is the one thing about some of these smaller counties. You know you're going to deal with the same prosecutor
oh, right.
the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Here in Cuyahoga and
oh, right.
the county.
Right.
You know, you might not see that as just a prosecutor for another couple of years, you know.
Right.
So, there's an element to that, you know, in the social element. They might see him in the local bar over the weekend, you know. So
right.
It's hard to get away from that, but you still got to fight it.
Right. And a lot of these prosecutors in the state of Ohio has a lot of power. They have the last decision. All the judges do is have to do the sentence.
You know, there's something else I need to throw in here, too. You know, does this name ring a bell, Pastor? Walter Mondale.
Oh, yeah. Walter Mondale.
You know, hate to speak ill of the dead. He passed away a couple years ago. He was the one who was pushing for the federal laws. It was called the Adoption Assistance Act. Sounds like it's a wonderful act for adoption. And then another one, which is the National Abuse Prevention Act. Okay, these laws were put into every county and every state, and all the millions of dollars that go with it. Well, the fine print showed that all of this training is going to be done for prosecutors, for guardians, for pro bono attorneys. And, you know, they had to get with the program and be politically correct, or you weren't going to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
So all these programs are still going on today. They get into children's services and all the social workers. And like I said before, if they don't have enough cases, they're not getting their money.
Right.
They got even bad cases.
That's what it always boils down to, isn't it? I got to take some calls. Let's go to John in Cleveland.
Yeah, I think the, one of the things tonight is how innocent people are framed up by the police, the government, the state, and there's an article that I think really brings out how important to realize that is. It's called "The CIA Takeover of America in the 1960s." Is the story of today, and the full title would be "The CIA Takeover of America in the 1960s." By killing JFK, RFK, and MLK is the story of today, because it brings out a little-known thing about the so-called frame of the allegation that Sirhan Sirhan killed RFK, when that has been really disproven by this article and a powerful book by Lisa Peace. And it shows that the attempt to frame up Sirhan is something I heard about on just waking up and seeing a C-SPAN type program years ago at a parole hearing for Sirhan, when they had those kinds of things broadcast. And the chairman mm-hmm. of the parole board, when Sirhan very meekly said, "I have some information, please, about the assassination," that parole board chief rose up and roared and used what had to have been a steel hammer. It would have broken if it was a wooden one. Pounded rapidly the gavel and said, "If you don't shut up right now, I'm going to shut down these hearings." In other words, Sirhan was going to reveal the fact that he was framed up, and there was a second gunman, and as proven by the renowned coroner Thomas Noguchi of Los Angeles, and all of the destroyed evidence, physical evidence of bullet holes that had more penetrations than Sirhan's gun could have shot.
That's a lot bigger story than we can do in the time we have left. I have to move on. But listen, thanks for sharing that, and have a blessed Christmas. Let's go to Jeff in Tampa.
Hello?
Yeah, you're in there. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like y'all to tell me if I have any recourse. I'll tell you just a real quick thing. About 5 years ago, I rented an apartment from some Muslims, and we had a falling out. And they took an injunction out on me, and went to court, and the judge sided with them for some reason, and even though it was word against word. And so I had to go get my things out of the apartment, and he said, "The sheriff will have to go with you, but if you need to make two trips, you can." Okay, I went to the first trip with the sheriff. But he said, "I'm not coming back. You got to get everything." I said, "Well, there's no way." And he said, "Well, you can call my lieutenant." Well, anyway, I called the lieutenant. He refused to let me go back and get the rest of my things. And so they put the rest of my things on the street, and I stopped by one day on the street to get them. And then they took out a false warrant on me and said that I mean, it was all a lie. He said that I had threatened them, threatened their life and all that. But all I was doing was picking up my things off the street. Mm-hmm. And so they took. So I was arrested for that. I had no bond. I spent 3 months in jail. And then when I went before the judge, I said, I never got my day in court. I never got to plead not guilty. And I had a public defender, too. And she said, well, time served. You can go home. And I said, well, is this going to be on my record? Because I was not innocent of what they accused me of. She said, no, it's not going to be on your record. But it is on my record to this day.
All right. I don't think we have enough time to get into that. You need some legal advice, and I don't think we can give that to you right here. Cause
give them one word, and that's expungement.
Expungement.
Expungement of the record, and get some local advice on there.
Yeah. Find some local.
In Florida, domestic violence can't be expunged.
I'll bet there's a way to do it.
All right. Okay, I've got to move on, but thanks, Jeff. Let's go to Lou in Detroit. Lou, you're in the air.
Yes, I'd like to thank you for the show that you got on tonight. I'd just like to report back in 2000, my wife had passed away, and my youngest daughter started skipping school while she was in school. She would just walk out. Make a long story short, they were wanting to charge me for parental neglect and possibly start putting me in, giving me some time.
Mm-hmm.
And all I could say about this, I'm going to quote one scripture. Basically, it says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people. And we need to be praying about this because this could have really went awry. And I just thank God that it didn't. That's all I have to say.
Well, you said it very well, and thank you very much, and have a merry, merry Christmas to you.
Thank you.
All right. We definitely living in the days God's Word, the Bible talks about the evil day, and you know we have seen corruption. It's unbelievable. If we go back 30, 40 years ago, we never would have thought it would have got this bad. I mean, but it is. We see the institutions. I remember, Bob, you remember for the whole 8 years that Barack Obama was in office. And again, people were saying, this guy's incompetent. He's not up to the, and I said, no, you don't understand what he's doing. He's placing the most corrupt people in, the most extreme places that we need in office. He's one after time, 12 four-star generals. Okay. Were purged out of our military. And this guy he's doing to America what no foreign enemy could ever do.
Well, in referencing just that last phone call, you remember a guy by the name of Sololinsky?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's right out of his playbook. You turn the children against the parents.
Right.
And the children turn the parents into the authorities.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
This is just another way to create division. I mean, that's like the 30,000-foot outlook of what's going on in this country. Then you get down into the weeds where what Tony's dealing with. But it's true. That's what Hillary Clinton was doing when she was doing what she does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's the female version of Sololinsky.
Yeah.
So wherever you can create division, whether it's between parents and their kids or, political division, people find that, the more division you have, the more chance you have for the Marxists to take over.
Bob, I remember watching a film that was where a young Hillary Clinton college student actually was chastising Saul Alinsky, her hero. She wrote her paper on him for not being ruthless enough.
I believe it, yeah.
Yeah, well, she wrote, yeah. We're out of time. We're going to go ahead, and I'm going to have my man over here, Randall, give us, we got 4 minutes to give an invitation for the folks out there listening, because one of these days, all of this corruption will be gone. God is going to put an end to it. He will do that. But for right now, we have to be the light in the darkness. So, Randy, tell us how we can avoid hell and get to heaven.
Well, tonight we talked about some things that ended up being, and I'm going to sum it up and say we talked about mercy and judgment. And we all have done things that are worthy of judgment, and we all want mercy. And in Jesus Christ, we can get the clean slate, because that's where mercy meets judgment. And Jesus pays the price for our judgment, and we receive the mercy, which turns into grace. And it's really kind of as simple as that. If you've not lived a perfect life when nobody has, and if you've ever been in a situation where you needed mercy over the judgment that you deserved, which we all do in sin, then Jesus Christ is the cleansing element, the forgiveness of our sins, the payment to God, so that the wrath of God is turned away, and instead of receiving judgment, we receive mercy in Christ, and he does, and God certifies that by indwelling us with the Holy Spirit in your life, and he takes away the judgment that he takes away the judgment and turns it into mercy and grace. And if, let's say the sinner's prayer, Lord Jesus, and we're accepting Jesus as our Lord, I have committed an ABC, whatever it is, say that. And then if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sin and he's the Son of God, he is God in the flesh, and that God has raised him from the dead, which certifies that he was, then you will be saved. It's as simple as that. And I'll leave you with that. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, accept him as your Lord and Savior, and thou shalt be saved. It is that simple.
Amen.
All right, so has anybody ever regretted receiving eternal life?
Oh, no.
No one's ever regretted now.
And you receive it now. You receive eternal life now. It's not sometimes later. It happens now. So that once you've addressed death, it doesn't matter when the life here ends, because Jesus Christ is your life from the moment you do this.
So when you say that sinner's prayer and you ask the Lord in your life, how do you know that you're saved? How do you know?
Because God indwells you with the Spirit. He seals you with the Spirit. And there is a change of heart. There is a change of life. And anybody that is saved can tell you that this happened in a moment in time.
And so you will definitely see a difference there. People will become, you'll become a new creature, a born-again believer, and you'll start to change. Your life will change, won't it?
Absolutely. You're free to do right, because before you weren't. That's the difference, is that we always say that, well, I won't do wrong. No, but you're free to do right now and not do wrong.
Now, mm-hmm. Are there a whole lot of people out there that have a profession of faith but not a possession of salvation?
That's right.
And did the Lord Jesus say that many, many are called, but few are chosen, many will come, a few? So many have a profession, but they didn't mean it, did they?
That's right. That's right. You got to believe in your heart along with the confession with your mouth.
And so, absolutely, you got to believe.
You got to believe.
And God will always honor. God will. That's the only one we can completely, he will never forsake us, never betray us, is God, huh?
It's done in a moment in time, and it continues into eternity.
That's right. And because we can't even always trust ourselves, you know.
That's right.
We don't always know how we're going to react to certain things, what happens until it happens, but God does, huh?
That's right.
And so, folks, we are out of time for tonight. I want to thank you for being here, Tony. And we're going to pick up and later on. You're going to hear from a lot of people, I got a feeling. And so, as we say at this time every night, we want to say good night.
Good night.
God bless.
God bless. God bless.
And get ready.
Always. Keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.